back when I had no understanding of the Holy Spirit and what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was and all those things. And if you're taking notes, you can write down, there's going to be four main points that I'm going to give you today, plus some other scriptures, as you know me. But I just, the main thing that I want to tell you, too, is another book that I've been doing in conjunction with reading the book of Acts is The God I Never Knew by Pastor Robert Morris. And Pastor Robert, some of you know him in here, some of you may not, but he pastors Gateway Church in South Lake, Texas. But he was a Southern Baptist pastor who got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so he brings, you know, that the Baptist background that he had because he went to Baptist seminary. And then he teaches in this book about the Holy Spirit and about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the best books I've ever read on this subject, and it'll really help you. But if you're like me, I was raised in a Baptist church, all right? And so I just want to start off with this question. What have you been taught in the past about speaking in tongues? And I'm going to tell you what I was taught before I understood this subject matter was that it was of the devil, okay? Until one day I started reading the Word of God for myself, and I saw it in the Word. And I was like, how is something of the devil that's in the Word of God? Well, it's not. It's just that when people don't understand something, instead of trying to get to understand it and know it, they immediately say it's of the devil. And so I found out that those people were ignorant, and that just means they were uneducated. And I don't want us to be ignorant. Look at somebody and say, don't be ignorant, okay? You're on solid biblical ground believing in this, and by the end of today, I just want you right now just to release any religious stronghold, bondage, whatever, that you've ever heard or been taught about the negativity about speaking in tongues. And because I'm going to show you through the Word of God that you're standing on solid biblical ground to believe in this and to have this operating in your own personal life. And God wants every believer to have this. Look at somebody and say, this is for you. Okay. Now, we're going to start off in the book of Acts. So go to Acts chapter 2. We're going to read down through verse 8, and then we're going to jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost, remember last Sunday we learned what Pentecost means. It means 50, had fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, because they were there for the Feast of Pentecost. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Okay, so that's Acts 2, verses 1 through 8. That was the initial day of Pentecost where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and I'm believing God's going to do that here today. Amen? All right, and then jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Just to give you a little background on 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthian church and to the church at Corinth, and this church was a very Pentecostal church, okay? Very Pentecostal. So he's coming in as an apostle to bring some order and everything. And so this is how this letter is written. I encourage you to go home and read all of chapter 14 today. We're going to look at some of the scriptures in it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we're going to read down through verse 5. It says, pursue love, that's chief, everything's got to be done in love, and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. All right, so when you speak in a tongue, you're not speaking to men, you're speaking to God. Everybody see that? For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, this is another way of to God, praying in the Spirit. He's speaking in tongues. He speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue, when you're praying in tongues, means you edifies himself or herself, means you build yourself up. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues. Paul says, I wish every one of you spoke with tongues. All right? And I'm going to just give it, you know, when he said, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. That's almost like saying this. I'm just trying to give you an analogy of this. He who reads his Bible in private encourages himself, but he who reads his Bible in public encourages everyone. Okay? I say, all right, so, well, yeah, that is good. Thanks, Dad. All right. I wish you all spoke with tongues. Now we're going to go to Acts 10. I just want you to show you that in Acts, this is in lots of different places in Acts where this happened. I love Acts chapter 10 because this is where the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the Gentiles, which is us, okay? It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. The Jewish people were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the gift of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, okay? It's not just the tongues. That's part of it, all right? It's kind of like, I heard a pastor say this one time, it's like if I had a shoe with a tongue on it, the Holy Spirit is the whole shoe. It's not just the tongue of the shoe. Got that? The gift of the Holy Spirit is the whole thing, the whole Holy Spirit. So the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them, listen to this, they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Go a little bit further in Acts. Acts chapter 19, verse 6, it says, and when Paul had laid hands on them, this is where he met these believers, and he said, what baptism have you been baptized into? They said, John's baptism. He said, have you heard of the Holy Spirit? And they said, they went to the same church I went to. They said, we never even heard of the Holy Spirit. And so that's a joke, by the way. Y'all need to loosen up because we're going to have some fun with this today. All right? Acts chapter 19, verse 6, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. All right, here's my four main points today. Here's point number one. Point number one, it is a language, all right? It's not gibberish, it's not goofy, it's not weird, it's biblical, and it is a language. Because what I just read in Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 6, it says, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. That's Acts 2, verses 5 through 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the love chapter, this is the Apostle Paul again. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So love is number one, but there's this language from heaven. And what I underline tongues in there because tongues, the Greek word for that is glossa, where we get our word glossary from, and it just means language. So you translate like this, though I speak with the language of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I'm going to go ahead and kill some sacred cows or some myths right now. All right. First of all, one of the myths that I've heard is, well, when you, I'm going to ask this question. When you learn, how many of you in here speak a second language? Anybody? Okay. Nobody. All right. Nobody. Nobody in here speaks a second language. Somebody? Mary does. Mary. Thank you, Mary. Mary knows Spanish. Yeah. So when you learn a language, let me ask you this, Mary, when you learned English, of course, you probably, did you speak it fluently right off the bat? No, you didn't. All right, the same with this language from heaven. You're not going to speak it fluently right off the bat, okay? You may just have one syllable, all right? And you need to, and you might be in your prayer time, because I want you to start asking for this in your private prayer time, all right? And I'm gonna teach you some more things about this here. But when you start, it may just be one syllable, and you're in your mind's gonna be telling you, you sound goofy, you sound dumb. Don't listen to your mind. Amen. Keep going. All right. Just for instance, we just had Jarek's third birthday this week, and I was thinking about him when I was preparing this message because when he was starting to talk, he'd learning the English language because we're English, right? He's not learning Spanish, he's learning English. Well, one of the things that he would do is he would come up to us, and he only had one syllable, and he used it for every conversation he had, but we knew he was telling us something because he was expressive and everything, and this is how he would do it. Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, and I'm like, dee-dee-dee-dee, what? You know, I mean, it was dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, and it was just, that was his language for a long time. Now it's It's developing. He knows the word perfect now. After watching, what's that show? Mouse with the cookie, or yeah, give a mouse the cookie. He knows the word perfect now, all right? So what I'm trying to tell you is you're going to start off just like a little child in this, and then you're going to grow in it, okay? Here's another thing. You can't control it. God's just going to come on you, and this is a myth, by the way, and you just can't control it. So you're going to be at Walmart one day, and you're just going to have this irresistible urge to walk up to the intercom and grab it and start speaking in tongues. If you do that, you don't go to church here, okay? All right? But if you do that, have the interpretation of, thus saith the Lord, for the love of God, get more checkers to the front. Amen. All right, that needs to be the interpretation if you ever do that. That's a joke, by the way, okay? Because you can absolutely control it, all right? The book of Corinthians, that church was out of control. He came in to get them in control. He said, I still want you speaking in tongues. I wish every one of you did it, but we need to do this decently in an order, in control, because there's some people coming in here, they don't even know what's going on, because all they hear y'all doing is... In fact, the Corinthian church, it was so Pentecostal, they're actually greeting each other speaking in tongues, all right? And they're just like, what? Do what? You know, you greet somebody, greeters don't greet somebody at the door speaking in tongues, all right? Because they don't even know what you're saying. I'm making fun. I want us to loosen up a little bit and have some fun with this, all right? I'm not making fun of the Holy Spirit or speaking in tongues, but there's just some myths that's been passed down, and this is why people think that it's of the devil. All right, number three, this third myth, is it's just going to jump out of you, all right? So when you start asking for it, you ask the Holy Spirit to give you this prayer language, it's just going to jump out of you. No, it's not. It's going to be a choice. It's going to be an act of your will. You're going to have to surrender and submit your tongue to the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to, and just ask Him, you know, Lord, I'm going to give you, and it may just be dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, all right? But, Lord, I'm going to let you, I want the Holy Spirit to fill me, and I want to have this prayer language. Does that help people right there?
Yes.
Helping you? All right, here's number two. Number two, it is a language of the Spirit. It's a language of the Spirit. Your soul, mind, will, and emotions has a... Your voice right now, what I'm saying right now, is coming out of my soul. All right, because I'm speaking English. But your spirit has a voice too. Your spirit has a language, and it's a language of the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, and I'm just going to go ahead and give you this, and we talked about this a few Sundays ago about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There is a gift of tongues and an interpretation, all right? That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But there's what I'm talking about today is what I call the grace of tongues, and it's your prayer language to God. And just like God wants to extend His grace to everyone, this grace is extended to all believers. But you gotta want it, and you gotta ask for it, and you gotta choose it, okay? Somebody else asked me this, Mark, is this a heaven or hell issue? No, it's not. It's not a heaven or hell issue, but how many of you want all of Jesus you can get? Okay? Well, this is getting you there, getting you to get all of Jesus that you can get, believing in this and wanting this and desiring this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God." So when you're praying in your prayer language, you're not speaking to men, but you're speaking to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Have you ever been in a situation where you absolutely did not know what to pray? Okay, I have. I didn't know what to pray in English. That's where you say, Holy Spirit, pray through me. Here we go. All right? It's a tool that God wants to give you. It's a vital tool, too, and I'm going to show you that here in just a second. 1 Corinthians 14, jumping down just a little bit further in verses 14 through 17. Here's the Apostle Paul, and he says, "For if I pray in a tongue," and I wrote that down because he said, "if I pray in a tongue." So I just want you to see there, it's a choice, all right? It's a choice. "My spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit," all right, there's another way I underline bless with the Spirit. That's another way of praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues. "How will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks?" All right. "Since he does not understand what you say. for you indeed give thanks well. You're giving thanks well because you're praying in the Spirit, but the other is not edified because he has no idea what you're saying. It's just like when you sit down to bless the food, right? Don't bless the food praying in tongues because nobody around the table is going to know what you're saying. Okay? Is everybody getting this? Everybody seeing this? All right. This is why you want this tool, okay? This is why you want, this is part of your armor of God. It's part of your arsenal against the enemy, all right? And this is in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Some of you in here, you know this passage, and it's about the full armor of God, and I'm going to show you what the whole armor of God is. Everybody say whole armor. Not partial armor. Some people are just walking out into battle and they got the helmet of salvation on and the sword, and the rest are just naked. Okay? They're not ready for battle. And so for us to go into battle, because the Bible says we don't battle against flesh and blood, to go into battle, you need this whole armor on. And a lot of people, when I heard it taught, they stopped at verse 17, but I'm going to read verse 18 to you. Okay, in verse 10 it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Boom. We'd stop right there. And we got to continue and read this in context. When you read verse 18, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." That means praying in tongues. "Being watchful to this and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." I'm going to read out the NIV version. It says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Does everybody see that? It's a language of the Spirit, and God wants you to have this language so that you can do battle and warfare and prayer. I honestly believe when you pray in the Spirit, the devil doesn't know what you're saying. That's what I believe. But when you pray in English, pray in Spanish, okay? We need this language. You need this language. Here's this is another reason why you need this language. It is a language that builds us up. The Bible teaches this, and how many of you need built up? All right, yeah. You know, I love it when Jada builds me up, okay? And I love when Jada's my cheerleader, rah, 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 right? And we love when people encourage us and pat us on the back and everything, but there's going to be situations in your life where you're by yourself, you need encouragement, and that's when you pray in the Holy Spirit. To encourage yourself. Jude chapter 20, there's only one chapter in Jude, so it's verse 20, I'm sorry. Jude verse 20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." There it is again. If you want to build yourself up on your most holy faith, you need to learn how to pray in the Holy Spirit. And it may start off with D, 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 but you're praying in the Holy Spirit. Because you're just a little baby learning how to do. You didn't learn how to talk all at once. And you're gonna. This is for everybody. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. This is for every believer. Get in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 4 through 5 again. It says, "He who speaks in a tongue," here it is, "edifies," which means encourages or builds himself or herself up. "But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues," here it is, "unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification." The Apostle Paul was just teaching them that there's a private prayer language and then there's the public gift of tongues. But Paul was trying to teach them, I want you using this language at home in your private prayer time, building yourself up. All right. So it's a language that builds up, and we all need built up. I love what the Apostle Paul said in verse 18 in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. So we know the Apostle Paul did it. He spoke in tongues all the time. Did he write these letters in tongues? Thank God he didn't. You know, he wrote them in the Greek of that day. All right. Then he goes on in verses 39 through 40. He says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. All right. That's to speak under the unction of the Holy Spirit, but speaking in your language to bring edification to the whole church or to someone else that you're ministering to. I love what Paul throws in here, and he says, but do not forbid to speak with tongues. How many denominations and churches today are forbidding people to speak with tongues? A lot. And it's unscriptural, all right? Do not forbid to speak with tongues. And then he says, let all things be done decently in order. There's a decent way and an orderly way to do all this, all right? And it'll bless a lot of people if we do it right. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. As I said, when I grew up, and I want you to know, please don't leave here and say, Pastor Mark just bashes the Baptist denomination every Sunday when he gets up and preaches. No, I thank God for all of my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. I thank God for the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Catholics. I love them all because we're all going to the same place if they believe in Jesus, okay? But I'm just telling you how I was taught. And I was never taught, every time they talked about the Great Commission, they'd always go to Matthew chapter 28, all right? But they never went to Mark chapter 16, what I'm fixing to show you, because I've had people come up to me after I've taught on tongues, and this is why I put this scripture in here. They say, well, Jesus never talked about it. Jesus never mentioned one thing about speaking in tongues. Oh, yeah, he did. You just probably never heard it in the church you went to, because they skip right over that. Because most of the time, in the Great Commission, they read Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to show you this in Mark chapter 16. This is another version of the Great Commission where Jesus is commissioning his disciples. And in verse 17, I'm just going to highlight one verse. And he says, and these signs will follow those who, what? Believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Who wrote that was Jesus. I shouldn't say who wrote that. Who wrote that was Mark, but who said that was Jesus. He said it. It's in Scripture. So you're standing on solid biblical ground for believing in this. It's not of the devil. It's from the Lord. All right? And everybody said? All right, here's the last thing. Number four, it is a pure language. Every language on the planet has profanity. I'm just going to tell off on myself. Back, this is my BC days. When I wanted to learn Spanish, the first words I wanted to learn was profanity. If I'm going to speak it, I want to, I know that's funny, but I'm just trying to make a point. Every language has profanity except this language I'm talking about today. It's a pure language. And I'm going to show you this in Scripture. Back in Genesis chapter 11, this was the Tower of Babel. This was before the flood, okay? There was a whole nother, scientist today, Jade and I love watching the History Channel and all those things and learning about history, but the pre-flood, we have no idea what this world was like pre-flood. You know, there's some things that we've kind of learned, but there's a whole nother world here pre-flood. And I'm going to show you this in Scripture in Genesis chapter 11 at the Tower of Babel. It's interesting that one of the ways that there's an organization or a company that's called Babel to help people learn other languages. This is where they get it from. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And we'll stop right there. What do you think it was? Because when we read it, we're thinking, oh, it's English. I can guarantee you it wasn't English. You know how? Because we can't even today, in English, agree on what's a male and a female.
That's right.
Amen. So in here, in verse 1, this is the same speech, or the same language, whatever God gave Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. All right? We don't understand it, but it was a language of the Spirit. But the Spirit had fallen in the garden. Okay? Right? And so They're in this fallen state, but they have this pure language. Everybody follow me? They're in a fallen state, but they have this pure language. Were they able to communicate telepathically? I don't know. Spirit to spirit, we do know they spoke like God did, but it was on a whole nother level than what we know today. I don't even know how to put it in words, but it was just that language that they had, that pure language that they had from the Garden of Eden, was a pure language, and it was a language from heaven. And I'm going to show you that in their fallen state, God had to do something. All right. So in Genesis chapter 11, they had this one language, one speech. Verse 5, jump down to verse 5, it says, "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men and women built. And the Lord said, indeed," listen to this, "the Lord said this, indeed the people are one and they have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be held from them." Are you meaning to tell me, God, that with this one pure language they could have built a tower to heaven because that's what they were trying to do? Well, God just said they could. That just blows me away. Think about that one. Let that sink in. Okay, going down. Verse 6, I just read verse 6. Verse 7 says, "Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." God was basically saying, in this fallen state, we can't have this. "So the Lord scattered them abroad from over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the languages of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth." I did a little word study the other day about this, because languages have always fascinated me. Languages and people's accents. I don't think I have an accent until I go somewhere else and they'll say, "You're from Oklahoma, aren't you? Or you're from Texas, aren't you?" Yeah, I'm pretty close. We all have different accents. It all amazes me. But I looked this up. There's right now, and this is always in flux. I mean, it's always changing. But there was, in Genesis chapter 11, there was one language, one pure language. Now, today, there's 7,150 languages in the world. That's a bunch. 40% are endangered with fewer than 1,000 speakers. 23 languages account for more than half of the world's population. I'll give you a little story about me. And I know we got some Choctaw in here today, and I know Kent knows some of the Choctaw language. And so there was one day, I grew up here in western Oklahoma, and going to Hammond, crossing the Washita River. And Dad was even telling me about fishing in the Washita. And it was the Washita. And until one day, Taya had a field trip when she was in elementary, and we went to Black Kettle Museum over there, and we had a tour guide. Taya always gets on to me for saying tour. Anyway, and so they were talking about the Cheyenne Arapaho, and was talking about what I was always told was the Washita River, and she said, "Really, it's not Washita, it's Washita, and it means good hunting, also good fishing." I found out the catfish are moving down the river right now, so if you need to go fishing, so it means good hunting. And I dug a little deeper in this, and so the Native Americans, we don't realize this as English speaking people when we came over here. You know, by the way, Columbus didn't discover America. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Yeah, the Native Americans were already here. Okay, somebody was already here. But I was looking this up, and the Native Americans gave us the words avocado, barbecue, chocolate, and chipmunk, just to name a few. And now I'm hungry. Not for chipmunk, but for barbecue. Okay, I don't want to eat no chipmunk. All right, and a lot of us, when we think, and I just want you to think outside the box for a little bit. We're here now. We speak English. We're in Western Oklahoma, and then we think, you know, one of these days, if the Lord tarries, you know, we're going to die. We're going to go to heaven. I mean, that's every one of us in here. That's what's going to happen. Okay, and then we think we're going to get to heaven, and is it going to be split up in languages, God? Are we going to have this one pure language? I don't know. And a lot of times we think, well, when we get to heaven, everybody's going to be speaking my language, which is English. I don't think so. Because here on this planet, the number one language on the planet is Mandarin, which 12% of the population speaks that, which is Chinese, okay? The second is Spanish, and that's 6% of the population. English is third at 5%, and then running close behind us at 4.5% is Hindi, which is, you know, over in India what they speak. And the reason why I'm saying all this is because there's a scripture that I've came across in Zephaniah 3, verse 9, that I thought was really interesting. It says this, "For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord." There's that pure language. It's a language without profanity. It's a language that we can all call on the name of the Lord and to serve him with one accord. I believe that that pure language is what was given to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And then in the fallen state, God had to do something to change that language. And so today, that's why we have almost 7,200 different languages. In Acts 2, and this is what happened on the day of Pentecost, what we're celebrating today. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord in one place when this pure language came down from heaven." Isn't that awesome? What I'm going to ask you today is we're going to have a time of prayer up here, and I'm going to have our prayer partners come too as well up here to pray with people, to receive their prayer language. There's no safer place than to do it right here at church in the altar today, okay? And when you, and I'm just going to, let me do a little prep work here before we do this, is I'm not the baptizer, Jesus is, okay? And this is something that you need, because let me show you my last slide of the day. I hope you all got this today. Praying in tongues is biblical. It's scriptural. You're on solid biblical ground believing for this and asking the Lord for this. It is a language, and it's a language of the Spirit. Second thing is praying in tongues is beneficial. It's a language that builds you up. How many of you need built up every day? You need this then. It's a pure language, what we just talked about. But what I want to tell every one of you in here, praying in tongues is a choice, okay? You must submit your mouth and your tongue and cooperate with the Holy Spirit when you do it. And you may come up here and you may go, dee, 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 dee. Okay? That's okay. That's a start. At least you had a courage to start submitting your tongue and your mouth to the Holy Spirit. I love what Pastor Robert was talking about in his book and in some messages that he's done on this. He said that, of course, he had such a, and some people receive it like quick, all right, just fast. And then some people, it takes a little bit, and that's okay, all right, because you may have some religious strongholds that you need to get through. Robert Morris was a pastor. He was actually in ministry when he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he was talking about how that he was praying this way. He said, "I go in my quiet time." And he said, "I'd met a few Baptist pastors that had the baptism of the Holy Spirit." And he said, "And so I was, you know, I'd been taught on it. And I was wanting it." And he said, "I'd go into my quiet time and I'd say, 'Lord, give it to me. Lord, sock it to me. Lord, let it jump on me.'" And nothing would ever happen. And it's because you have to submit your mouth and your tongue and just let it go. And, but he said, I did this for months doing this. He said, "My wife, she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit just like that, and was speaking in tongues just like that." He said, "Now, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I prophesied. I never did speak in tongues because I had this mental hang-up about it, and it was because of the denomination that he'd been raised in, that he'd been told that it was of the devil." And he said, "And he'd even been to seminary and still heard all these things." And he said, "Even though I could see it in the Word of God for myself, my spirit would not submit, and I could not get to speaking in tongues." And he said, "One morning we were getting up to go to church," and he goes, "My wife was looking at me. She had this funny-looking grin on her face." And he was like, "What's the matter?" And she goes, "Oh, nothing." And he goes, "No, what?" And she goes, "Well, I had to get up last night because I couldn't sleep, and I came in here and did some stuff in the house and read some of my Bible and stuff, and I came back to bed." And she goes, "When I came back to bed, you were praying in tongues. You were asleep, but you was praying in tongues." And He was like, really? And she goes, yeah, Robert, you were praying in tongues in your sleep. And so they went to church, and he told his pastor, he goes, Pastor, I don't understand. He goes, you ever heard of this? He goes, my wife tells me that I was actually praying in the spirit while I was asleep. And he said, yeah, Robert, I've heard of that, but that's always for the hard-headed ones. And he said, what happened was my spirit was finally saying, good, he's asleep. Now let's pray through him. The spirit man was. And guys, I'm just saying that every one of, and I did, I'm going to tell you, when Jada received it, and I'm telling you, she sounds like an angel, and I love it when Jada prays over me and blesses me in the spirit. But whenever I got it, it didn't sound very good, okay? And it didn't sound good at all. And I had just like one syllable for quite a while. And I was driving around in my car one day, and I was like, God, I got one syllable, and I feel like an idiot. But I see it in the Word, and my mind's playing games with me, and the enemy's definitely in my ear saying, this is goofy, this is weird, you don't need this. That's why the reason the enemy fights it so bad is because it's the part of your armor of God, the whole armor of God. That's why he fights it so much. And so finally one day I was working for a bank, and I was driving somewhere, and I was like, Lord, I got this one syllable, and I've had it for months, and when I pray and I speak it to you, I feel like Jerick. I feel like dee-dee-dee-dee, you know, and God says, but Mark, you know what I'm doing up here in heaven? I'm doing just like what you did with Jerick. That is so cute. That is so cute, son. That is so cute. You're just about to get there. You know, you're just about to learn how to speak in the Spirit. And today I have a language, okay? And I use it in my prayer time. I used it this morning on our way over here. Jade and I both prayed in the Spirit on the way over here. And it's just something that I use to build myself up. I also use it, I'm going to tell you another time that I use it that's been very helpful for me is when I have a temptation comes along. A thought. I just turn that thought into praying in the Spirit. And it works. Shuts it off. Stops it in its tracks. Do I have a choice not to? Yeah. I have a choice not to pray in the Spirit and a choice to go with that temptation. But this helps me in that choice matter. The Holy Spirit is a helper. He wants to help you live an overcoming Christian life. And everybody said, you need this. You need this. And so what I'm going to do today is if you want to receive your personal prayer language, I just want you to come up here at the front, and I'm just going to lay hands on you, and I'm going to pray in the Spirit with you and over you, and I'm going to bless you in the Spirit. And I'm going to have some of our prayer partners up here to do the same. And I'm going to tell you what I saw whenever I was preparing for this. I saw a lot of young people up here this morning. And so, young people, you need this. You need this more than ever today. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need your private prayer language. So while Taya's playing, I want you guys to come up here. I want our prayer partners to come up here to be able to pray with people, to receive their prayer language. And if you want and desire your prayer language, it's a choice. Just want you to come up here today. This is a safe place, okay? Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. Somebody's going to have to be the first one that comes. Don't be bashful and don't be shy. Amen. Come on up here. Amen. Come here, Carrie. Amen. Come on up here and stand. As Tina was coming, I want you guys to come on up here, okay? Thank you, Jesus. God is good and all the time. I just want to encourage you. You've been taught today, and I hope this has wet your appetite for more of the Holy Spirit, okay? My Aunt Paulita was here last Sunday, and she was telling us about their pastor, and whenever he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they go to Guts Church in Tulsa. Don't you like the name of that church? Guts Church. And he had somebody teach him and said that, hey, they said they were teaching on the Holy Spirit and baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And they said, don't you want all of Jesus that you can get? And he said, man, when they phrased it like that, I was like, yeah, I do. You know, and so when he received his prayer language then when he heard that phrase. And so I just encourage you, I'm going to tell you, this is the one thing that changed my life and my walk with God is whenever I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, having my own private prayer language. And it's something, I know Tina, you got it. Gary, you got it. You've asked for it. You just got to step out by faith and keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. And it may just be one syllable and then more will come. But it's a pure language, and it's a language for us. I'll never forget, I was thinking about when they were up here praying, and I was thinking about Jacqueline Welty, who's in the presence of God today. And I taught on this when we was down on Main Street, and she had went home. And, well, I think she'd even came up for prayer to receive it, and nothing really happened that Sunday, you know. And so we just encouraged her like I'm encouraging you guys. And she said she went home, and I think she was on her treadmill is where it happened at. And she just said, I was walking on my treadmill, and I was asking the Lord, and all of a sudden, here it just came. And she just surrendered her mouth and everything, and she was just praying in the Spirit while she was walking. So you can pray in the Spirit while you're exercising. You can pray in the Spirit while you're driving. I mean, you can pray in the Spirit everywhere. You can pray in the Spirit under your breath. And you don't need to go grab the intercom at Walmart, okay? it's something for you privately. And I hope this has helped everybody today to understand. I hope it's helped everybody, because that's what I want to do as a teacher, okay? All right, everyone, bow your heads in here this morning. I just want to make sure before we leave today that everybody in here knows Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And it's very simple. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, it just says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to help you call upon the name of the Lord, and I'm just going to lead you in what I call the prayer of salvation. And so even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with me today. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. And that's the first time you've prayed that prayer. Your next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism, and we can do that next Sunday. So just let me know if you'd like to do that. And we're going to go ahead and dismiss, but I'm going to have you all stand up, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And if you still need prayer or anything, we're going to be here afterwards to pray for you, okay? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Hug somebody's neck and say, Happy Pentecost Day. Amen.